Ulterior.
I know some of y'all saw those NFL schedules, and I'm cooling, man. I'm chill with it when it comes to like the Texans schedule. Yeah, there's that stretch towards the end with Dolphins, Chiefs, and Ravens in like a whatever consecutive day span, but there is a tension on this franchise like there's never been before. So you know what? Fuck it, bro. We ball. I'll thug it out. I don't give a shit. I ain't no bitch. I'm very excited for the season. A lot of really cool moving parts, a lot of exciting things at the prospect of this team. So, yeah, it's going to be really cool going forward in the fall and then into the winter. I hope so. And yeah, I don't have like too much to banter about right now. This is going to be a like kind of a different episode, but also not really because there is precedent for it. I did intend for this week's episode to cover like every ground for the past week of releases, so like all the singles, the EPs, the albums. I am going to get to that next week. I'm going to combine this past week with this current week to make a bigger episode next week, but for myself at least, it was imperative that I make the time to get at least this portion of the weekly reviews out. So what you guys are going to be hearing today is one episode dedicated to one album, and that album is by one of the most important bands of this generation, and then maybe at large, like the entire history of metalcore and hardcore and any other genre or subgenre that this band encompasses. So gonna play the intro song, and then after that we'll move into the review. Thank you so much for tapping in, and I hope you guys enjoy this episode. So as I just stated, this episode is dedicated to one album, and I don't know exactly how long it will go because it very much so differentiates in a lot of ways from last year when I made another episode dedicated to one album, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but I want to at least introduce the album right now. You guys know what it is, obviously. It is You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To by Knocked Loose. The only way to not be aware of Knocked Loose and their impact is like genuinely you're not in the scene, or you are in the scene but you live under a fucking rock. What I want to say at least now in terms of like an introductory phase for Knocked Loose is when I discovered this band back on, I don't even think it was Laugh Tracks. I think it was All My Friends back in like 2015, maybe 2016. And I enjoyed what I heard. If you asked me if I had any belief that this would be their trajectory and they would become one of the biggest bands in the entire scene while not changing a single fucking thing about their style or sound or approach to their music, there's no way that I would have believed you, because that just does not really ever happen. I'm trying to find the tweet right now, but there was a tweet last week by Hardlore. Go check out the Hardlore pod, by the way, if you guys never have. Great dudes, great show. I'm going to read word for word their tweet about Knocked Loose and this album specifically. A band with every reason to become more accessible, choosing to not compromise and evolve into something more extreme. That's what it's all about. Congrats to Knocked Loose on your best record yet and what is sure to be a landmark for the next generation of hardcore slash metal listeners. And the reason why all that is so remarkable is because, as I'm sure you guys have seen time and time again, and this is like no shade to any of these bands because I enjoy a lot of what they do, but it's very evident that a lot of times bands do feel the need to kind of scale back their heaviness per se in order to find greater success, and to their credit, it works. Like, I've seen it happen before, you know. And Knocked Loose, like that Hardlore tweet says, they have every reason right now to make those adjustments. Because where they're at in their careers right now, if they, you know, even so much as like wrote, say, like a song akin to like Throne by Bring Me the Horizon, you would see, you know, their notoriety in terms of like the mainstream articles of music. And yeah, you know, it would turn away the more hardcore audience, but that's the risk that all of those other bands have taken. And, you know, for a lot of them, I've seen it pay off. And for Knocked Loose, I feel like it would pay off tremendously well. But to the fucking utmost credit of everybody in that band, everybody around them, they've stuck true to their roots this entire time. Never once compromised any bit of their identity, never once tried to be something that they're not, never once did anything that they weren't comfortable with, and we have seen that amass into success on a level that you don't really get with these kinds of bands, you know? And it's way more than just like an arf arf meme or Knocked Loose motherfucker or, you know, whatever else. Like, this is a genuine movement that feels very special and maybe once in a lifetime. Because again, this shit doesn't happen, you know, you don't get these bands getting this big. I mean, you get like Lorna Shore doing their thing, you know, still being a heavy deathcore band. But I think with Knocked Loose, it's, I don't want to call it more special because I don't think that's true, but there's at least like a paper trail of sorts you can follow. You know, you can go on YouTube right now and look up videos of Knocked Loose 10, 9 years ago playing in small rooms and having that, like, you know, that real authentic hardcore feel and being able to take that feeling into arenas now across the country and the entire globe. That's something that, like, I'm going to hold on to forever. And I will always, you know, be like just so astonished by everything Knocked Loose have been able to do. Again, not because I don't think they're talented enough, but because this just doesn't ever happen. And you could see the steps along the way throughout the years, you know, laugh tracks being the thing that like kind of got people talking, and then A Different Shade of Blue coming out in 2019. And I think that was kind of the point where it felt plausible now for Knocked Loose to like reach a higher level and break through any sort of ceiling for metalcore slash hardcore slash whatever the fuck it is you want to call what it is that they're doing. And for there to be a near 5-year stretch between those two albums, and yes, sure, there is A Tear in the Fabric of Life in between there, and then there's the Upon Lost singles, but to have like a full body of work take 5 years to craft and be put out to the masses, and still in that 5-year stretch become bigger than you ever were before, Knocked Loose, like, they found the formula, they mastered everything that they're trying to do and everything that they're succeeding at for that matter. And now to finally circle everything back to this specific record, You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To, I want to talk a little bit right now about like my thought process behind making an episode dedicated entirely to this one singular album. Because if you guys have any recollection of this, the only other time I've ever done this was around this exact time frame last year, and it was Take Me Back to Eden by Sleep Token. And that ended up being my record of the year for 2023. It, by making one episode for this album, You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To, am I saying that it is the 2024 album of the year or record of the year? Not really. And the reason why like I'm kind of hesitant right now in my cadence is because when I did that one episode last year for Eden, I kind of already knew in my mind that it was going to be record of the year. Like, I kind of had like that instinctive feeling already. And that was one of the reasons why I went ahead and made that one massive episode. With You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To, I don't have that confidence level, but it was still important for me in my mind and my justification to have one episode for this album, because it is going to end up being the most important record of the year. I really do feel strong in that stance. Even if Bring Me drops, even with Bad Omens doing OST, even with anybody else doing anything this year, I don't see how any album becomes more of a conversation point and a talking point throughout the rest of 2024 than You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To. And that writing's been on the fucking wall this entire time, guys. Like, when you look at the singles rollout for this record, Blinding Faith, Don't Reach For Me, and Suffocate, and the like shot of adrenaline and energy that these three singles shot into the scene, and not even in like microscopic ways, like in, you know, ways that like are shown on a grand stage on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Discord, YouTube, any social platform. Knocked Loose became the discussion whenever these singles came out, and Blinding Faith was like the perfect way to, I was gonna say, ease everybody into this new cycle, but like Blinding Faith doesn't ease you into anything. That song just throws you into the fucking deep end, and everybody was like so receptive of that song, just like they were for Don't Reach For Me. And Don't Reach For Me, I feel like that ended up having these like hints of like uneasiness and like a brooding, ominous feeling sprinkled in that you would end up finding throughout certain other areas and corners of this record. Suffocate, that song is like, I'm trying to figure out how I want to phrase it, but I think Suffocate is going to end up being like one of the calling cards of the scene for the entire year. And it's the kind of song that I will never be able to forget where I was when I first heard it. Like, fucking hell, for that matter, I will never be able to forget where I was when I saw the track list for this record and I saw featuring Poppy next to the title Suffocate, and like how that made me feel, and like having like already in my head like, fuck man, like what is it going to sound like? Like, how well is Poppy going to mesh her voice with Bryant? And you know what, guys? She meshed it about as well as a guest feature spot could ever possibly go. I think this is one of the greatest feature spots of all time for the scene. And Poppy just, like, commands attention the same way that Bryant does. And, like, every video that I've seen of her getting on stage with Knocked Loose to perform this song, it's, like, maybe the best that her screams have ever sounded. And, you know, it's not just her. It's the entire band that is operating at this level right now that feels like it's superseding anything that they've been doing before. And that's not me saying necessarily like this album sounds much better than Different Shade of Blue or Laugh Tracks, but I feel like it's just like a more like refined and complete version of Knocked Loose, which, you know, after a 5-year wait, you would hope that's the case. But the thing is, it's not always, you know, some bands do have that decline in like quality and effort and musicianship, but Knocked Loose, if anything, they had an increase on all those fronts. And something else that I want to say about Knocked Loose before I move ahead into kind of looking at the rest of the track list and picking apart what I want to, there was a tweet by Lucas from Holding Absence that I think kind of echoes something that I wanted to get across for this episode and this overall review. I'm trying to find the tweet because I don't want to like misinterpret what he said or say it incorrectly. Okay, he said, Lucas said that he's normally like you know, like an uptight hype equals lame type of cringe guy. I'm actually just gonna read the whole tweet because it sounds weird when I'm saying it without that context. So this is from Lucas of Holding Absence. Believe the hype on Knocked Loose, by the way. I'm normally an uptight, hype equals lame type of cringe guy, but Knocked Loose are pushing heavy music to new heights in new directions and onto a new crowd too. This is a culture type of thing as much as it is a music type of thing. And there's a lot from that tweet that I think really can be like translated to the larger audience when it comes to the perception of Knocked Loose and how people look at them. Because I feel like there are a lot of people out there who have that mentality of like, if something is hyped, it's not good or doesn't warrant that kind of hype. And, you know, maybe when I was younger, I kind of had like a similar mindset in some ways of like, if this thing is like, you know, gassed up and put on a pedestal by so many people around me, then there's not really a way for me to be able to have those same expectations and I'm just going to be let down. I'll literally just reiterate what Lucas said at the beginning of that tweet. Believe the hype on Knocked Loose, because this is a band that has absolutely justified every bit of praise that they've gotten, every bit of upward trajectory. And even though they are one of the biggest bands in the scene, I really do believe they're also one of the best. And to the additional point of what he said about this being a culture type thing as much as it is a music type thing, yeah, I think Knocked Loose, and very much so on this record cycle so far, have influenced a lot of the culture around the scene, and not just themselves. You know, there's a reason why my timeline last Friday was just like tweet after tweet after tweet of people posting screenshots of them listening to the album, other musicians, just talking very highly of Noctloose, and you could get that sense that, like, this was a moment that everybody was in for. Everybody was a part of this release for You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To. And you really don't see it that often. Like, yeah, the bigger bands like Bad Omens, Lorna Shore, Spirit Box, you know, when there's something going on for them, it becomes a conversation. And Noctloose was very, very comfortably in that same spot. And I rarely saw any type of negativity towards Noctloose. I'm sure it exists, but as far as like what was put in front of me from fans and musicians, it was just nothing but the highest levels of praise for this band who has put in the work and the effort and the energy and the time and the dedication and the motivation to become what they are now. And if anybody for any reason whatsoever might still like kind of be on the fence about Noctloose, the biggest selling point that I can give you as far as giving You Won't Go Before You're Supposed To a chance is the runtime is 28 minutes, and there is no point in any of that 28-minute stretch that the album ever has any, like, faults or flat lines or whatever. It is just, like, a constant, heavy experience, and you're not going to get that from a lot of other bands, you know? When records are kept that concise to 28 minutes or around that range, bands do run the risk of not really showing off everything that they're capable of, or maybe trying to, like, you know, overcompensate and pack so much into that runtime and everything becomes like kind of like cluttered and bogged down. You don't get that at all with Noctloose. These 28 minutes were used as effectively and efficiently as any band could ever fucking utilize that runtime. Like, the opening song, Thirst, is a minute 47 seconds, but in that minute 47, you are given, like, the full experience right away, and you have a good enough understanding of what the rest of the album is going to entail, just from how fucking vicious and brutal that song actually is. And kind of something that I mentioned earlier about, like, a brooding atmosphere, that's laced all throughout Thirst, and there are two specific points of production that I could point to and say really help elevate Thirst and set the tone perfectly for the rest of the album, and, you know, that ominous feeling. The bass distortion is, like, so, like, creepy and eerie, and it helps give, like, that horror film atmosphere to the record, and it really matches what, you know, you see on the album with, like, the green illuminated cross and the field around it that's, like, kind of, like, light lit up by the cross, but also dark everywhere else around it. Thirst really does a great job at kind of like, you know, being the soundtrack to the visuals in that aspect. The other point of production that I wanted to mention was the snare sound and how it's kind of like a dodgeball type of a thing, very like trash can-esque. Not Saint Anger by Metallica sort of trash can, but just like, it has like this industrial feel that I think really works to the advantage of the overall sound that this record is going for. I also wanted to point out just how cool and clean the transitions between each song is and how everything just bleeds so perfectly into, you know, the next arc or the next phase of the record, like how Thirst ends on its breakdown, and that is just so effortlessly transitioned into the intro to Piece by Piece, which keeps the energy going so rampantly, and I feel like it's going to translate even more well to a live setting when these songs are played in succession of one another. And when some of these songs are paired together, like Moss Covers All and Take Me Home, it makes those transitions feel even more effective, because Moss Covers All, for all intents and purposes, like, you know, could be perceived as like an interlude song, but it's just like ridiculously heavy, so I feel like calling it an interlude, it takes away a lot of what makes that song what it is. But just the way that Moss Covers All is like so heavy all the way through, and then how that leads into Take Me Home's intro, which is like really slow, and it's like a haunting melody or like a haunting little riff on a guitar, it makes that song kind of like feel like, I don't want to say scary because it's not scary, but it's just very like uneasy, I guess, when it comes to how that song, you know, relays the atmosphere of You Won't Go Where You're Supposed to the audience. And again, like those like really like chugging downtune bass rhythms, the slow and like chilling pacing to Take Me Home, it's one of the high points of the album, and that's on an album that in my mind really has nothing but high points. Slaughterhouse 2, so along with what I mentioned earlier about like my eyes immediately going to Suffocate featuring Poppy when I looked at the track list for the first time, It was also this song that really grabbed my attention, because as I'm sure most of, if not all of you guys are aware, Slaughterhouse was originally a Motionless in White song on Scoring the End of the World 2 years ago. That song featured Brian from Knocked Loose on it, and now we have the inverse where it is Chris from Motionless in White featured on Slaughterhouse 2, and I feel like I did see a couple of tweets from different people saying that in their minds, Slaughterhouse 2 was the weakest song on this album. And I feel like when looking at the points they made about why they feel that way, I do understand it. I do understand the belief somebody could have when hearing this song that all it really tried to do was just like take, you know, the viral key moments and buzzwords of the original Slaughterhouse and put them into this song. And maybe to them, it didn't come across as natural. It felt very forced. To me, I think it was natural. It did feel like the most logical evolution from the original Slaughterhouse into this one. And yeah, you know, it has a Break Down the Wall Again, which is the opening line of both songs, actually. One Mutilation Under God, You Won't Survive in the Slaughterhouse. And something that I really, really enjoy about this song is kind of like a link back to what I mentioned earlier about Knocked Loose never like compromising their identity or changing up anything about their style or their sound to, you know, a degree where it would make sense for them to do so now. I feel like it would have made sense for Chris to have clean vocals on this song, yet he doesn't. It's, you know, him and Brian matching each other's screams punch for punch throughout the entire runtime, and I think that's a really commendable decision to make sure that this song fit in with the rest of You Won't Go Before You're Supposed to the highest extent that it could have. And as of right now, I really do think that Slaughterhouse 2 is the best of like the new non-single crop of songs that we got to hear on this album. The Calm That Keeps You Awake has this really cool like drum pattern on the toms in the intro that I thought did a really good job at kind of like setting that song apart from the rest of the album. And it like did what I said the rest of the album does up to this point, like just kind of keeps the energy going. And it's another addition to what I mentioned about like there not being any sort of like a decline or a low point on the album. And once you get to Blinding Faith, which is the penultimate song here, I'm kind of there like, did Knocked Loose really like deliver the perfect album or the perfect follow-up to A Different Shade of Blue that makes sense to where they're at right now in their careers? And the answer I do strongly believe is yes. This album turned out to be everything that Knocked Loose needed it to be. And this is a kind of album that, you know, it is going to get them bigger. It is going to help their trajectory a lot. And I say that acknowledging that this band is already just at the top of the scene right now. Like the other day in LA, they packed like 6K or 6.5K in an arena, and like a crowd that sized for a band like Knocked Loose, I've been saying this over and over again, but it just doesn't happen. Like, that's not something that is ubiquitous whatsoever in our scene, and Knocked Loose are the anomaly in that sense, and there is no band who, you know, I would have rathered this kind of good fortune happen to. And then the album closes on Sit and Mourn, which is the longest track here. It's 4 minutes 47 seconds, and there's a lot of that runtime that is spent kind of building up this atmosphere. And even like from that initial building phase, I feel like it's easy for you to understand as a listener that this is going to be a song that is a lot more somber in its lyricism and nature and cadence than anything else on the record. And there are these points in the verses where the instrumentation, I always get like caught up on that word, the instrumentation is kind of like scaled back a little bit so that Brian has this free space and canvas to lay over these screams that sound like they're like full of despair and cries of help. And it is definitely the most emotionally moving song on the record. I look at Brian's final verse here and the lyrics that, you know, accompany this fucking crazy ass outro of a track. A test at every turn. All I focus on is strength. I will carry you through fire. Loss we share means swallowing pain. Will you inherit my grief? If I finally choose to sleep, I pulled from the root and found more blood. This life can be way too much. And then the final outro section. Why'd you leave? I feel like I failed. And for this album to end on this note and this kind of a song, it even like adds more of what I mentioned about like that creepy, ominous, eerie, chilling factor to an album that had already up to that point made the listener probably feel uncomfortable, but it's an uncomfortable sense that you can't shake off, you can't pull yourself away from, you won't go where you're supposed to. No matter how like dark of a place you might feel confined to when hearing this album, you break out of that, because this is the kind of band that like pulls you out of that hole and that despair with their own stories and their own, you know, variations of what it is that you won't go where you're supposed to is meant to, you know, be the analogy of. What Knocked Loose did on this album was not just like set, you know, a standard or a benchmark for themselves, but everybody around them. I think this is an album, to go back to what Hardlore said earlier, it's going to shape a generation. It really does have that potential. And like, it's crazy to think about how Knocked Loose have the potential now to get even bigger off of this record when they're already at heights and levels that we're not used to seeing for this type of music and this kind of a band. But like I've kind of been saying over and over again, this is like a real testament to their craft and the work that they put in. And for that matter, like the work and the energy that the audiences have resonated with and they've given back to Knocked Loose, because, you know, for as much as, you know, it's easy to clown on Arf Arf from Counting Worms, when you listen to the way that a crowd yells Arf Arf at shows, like Knocked Loose don't get to where they are right now without that kind of love and adoration from the audience, or how everybody yells out Knocked Loose motherfucker during Deep in the Willow. Like, the audience has played as big of a role as anything else when it comes to elevating Knocked Loose to this level, and it's one of the coolest like marriages that you can find right now with any combination of band and fans in the entire scene. This is their magnum opus. This is a masterpiece of an album. This is the perfect record, and I never had any doubts that would be the case. You know, listening to Blinding Faith, Don't Reach For Me, Suffocate, and then even going backwards into the band's entire discography, it was very easy to tell from the jump that You Won't Go Where You're Supposed To was going to end up being the most important release of Knocked Loose's career. And like I've been saying, I truly believe this is going to end up as the most important album of the year. Whether you think it's perfect, or you think it's just good, or you like it, or you hate it, or whatever the fuck your reaction to this record might be, I don't think there is any way to conceivably and credibly take away the impact that it is having right now on all of us, and that it is going to have in the future, for the years to come, for the generations to come, and this is the album that is going to cement Knocked Loose as one of the biggest and best bands in the entire scene. And that's it. That was my somewhat comprehensive take on You Won't Go Where You're Supposed To by Knocked Loose. And again, you know, I did mean for this episode this week to be all-encompassing of every song and EP and album, but to me, it was very important that I give You Won't Go Where You're Supposed To its own spotlight and this own time to really let my thoughts on the album be fleshed out, because it's the kind of album that has warranted that, and the band, for that matter, have done everything to warrant, you know, the attention and the love, because what we're seeing right now out of Knocked Loose is special, and I hope everybody out there realizes that, and it is not lost on anybody what we're watching right now. Thank you for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and as always, for the love of the game, let's make a scene.